Thank you. It's good to be here this evening. Really, 5 years, Pastor. That does seems like doesn't seem that long ago, but time flies, and every day closer to heaven, right? We want to thank you for your faithful prayers for at least the past 5 years. We thank you already for the prayers that were before that, 5 years ago, and for your faithful giving. Without the prayers, without the giving, we couldn't be in Japan where God has us serving Him. And we love being there, and I feel sorry for all you people that God didn't call there. And if I'm wrong on that, then God can deal with me that when I get to heaven. We're going to show you about an 8-minute DVD now of the past 5 years or so, and then we'll try and entertain some questions and answers after that. What? And yes, Katrina says hello. For those of you that don't know it, she attended here for about a year, and she spent 2 years of teaching in Indiana, and now she's been in Ohio for 3 years, got married last summer, and her and her husband were just up for the weekend and left her this afternoon. She really wanted to be here, but they both have to work tomorrow morning, and so if you're going to be here tonight and drive all night and go to work in the morning, yeah, they said that's probably not such a wise idea, and I couldn't really argue with them against that. But if our brother back there pushes all the right buttons now, he'll start the DVD. I'll sit down and be quiet for about 8 minutes. Northernmost island, Hokkaido. Last spring, we had a church brochure designed and 20,000 printed, 12,000 of which I have distributed. The brochure theme is, "Do you have peace?" We're hoping this will pique people's interest in at least considering how Christ can help them. After 12,000 miles, my old bicycle wore out. I purchased a new one in spring 2016 so I can continue door-to-door literature distribution by bicycle when the roads are clear. In winter, I do so by foot. We put heavy emphasis on inviting folks to the Christmas services. Christmas is becoming more popular in Japan, but there is no spiritual emphasis. We have a Japanese service followed by a Christmas meal and activity. There was also an English service followed by fun and homemade Christmas cookies. For several years, I have been encouraging church attendees to bring their grandchildren. For a few special services, grandchildren from two families have come. The challenge now is to have them return on a regular basis. Sunday is the only day that many don't work, so families take this day as their downtime. Schools also schedule various activities on Sundays.
Half of the children that came to the Christmas service were a direct result of the Saturday Children's English Time. Children's English Time is still how we make the best and most contacts with unbelievers. When we have the annual Friends and Family event in late November, Dean gives a gospel presentation. I cook a lot of food for the 25-plus who attend. We also have fun activities for the kids and parents.
Our area is a popular tourist destination due to its natural beauty and famous attractions. Especially during summer, we get visitors from abroad. We've had visitors from Canada, United States, Singapore, Malaysia, Switzerland, and several African countries. All of them found us as a result of the church's website. Joseph has been an encouragement at the English service. He is an English teacher from Canada who has been faithful for over 2 years and has helped with tract distribution in the shopping district. It's been good to have Mitchell, a high school exchange student, also attend the English service. We'll miss him when he returns to the States in June.
We had 8 personal Bible studies with Joanne, a Filipina who had a Catholic upbringing. On March 8, 2017, she prayed to ask Jesus Christ to be her Savior. About the same time, she completed her course of study at a university in our city and returned to the Philippines.
Due to our central location, Chua Bible Baptist Church still often hosts the twice-yearly Hokkaido Pastors Fellowship. Lately, pastors' wives and church workers are also attending thanks to the assistance of 2 Japanese pastors. This makes for a more lively fellowship. I still hope more Japanese pastored churches will host meetings. Our church building is quite old and needs constant repairs. I do what I can, but occasionally a workday is needed to accomplish more difficult, larger tasks. We are praying and slowly saving for a new building that will greatly reduce maintenance and snow removal from the sides of the building. This is necessary, or the weight of all that snow would break windows and crush the building. In 2015, we put out a plea for funds to purchase a new snowblower. Many sincere thanks to those who contributed. The more powerful machine greatly reduces the time and effort needed for the more than weekly snow removal required throughout the long winter season. Because we realize the importance of a church having an organized method of supporting missionaries, Chua Bible Baptist Church does Faith Promise Missions Giving. We support one family, the Funakoshis, ministering in Ukraine. Periodically, we have missionaries present their mission work to the church. Pastor Kosaki, who started a work on our island over 10 years ago, informed us of their labors in the city of Tomakomai.
Rebecca Kuhlman, who grew up in our city of Asahikawa and now serves the Lord in Nagoya, Japan, shared with the church. We also had a well-attended, fun ladies' lunch.
We had the honor of helping at a nationwide youth camp hosted by Tsuzuran Bible Baptist Church. A pastor friend of ours who had a part in the camp came up here early with his family for a couple vacation days at our house and to minister at our church the Sunday before camp. We had a fantastic time with the Tani family.
Last year, we were saddened by the unexpected death of 67-year-old Junko, a church member. Her unsaved family allowed us to do a Christian funeral.
Because we are located near the center of our large island and a university hospital, we have opportunities to be a blessing to missionary friends and their families who are in town for fellowship, medical needs, or travels.
Eriko stopped by our house and told us she lived here as a teenager. She and I formed a friendship. Sadly, in 2016, Eriko's only child, Yume, was diagnosed with metastatic bone cancer. She has had an amputation and chemotherapy. Yume, now 12 years old, still hasn't recovered. Her mother reports she often feels sluggish. A recent CT scan has shown a shadow on her lung. Yume is being monitored for a relapse.
To foster interaction with our contacts, we attend various activities such as concerts, art exhibits, sporting competitions, and school events. In June, we will start a monthly bilingual Sunday school for children called Joy Time. Mrs. Nagase, a church member, will teach the Japanese lesson. We are encouraged by this idea and are trusting that it will be the springboard for church growth, especially for families to be added to the church. We pray that numerical growth will give the people a vision for a much-needed new building. Thank you for praying and showing interest in our ministry.
Arigato gozaimasu.
If I remember correctly, this group of people always had lots of questions. So if you've got questions, now is the time to ask them. I don't see a clock, do I? Oh, right back there, big red letters. I'm looking on all the walls and not seeing. Okay, I can read that from here, probably even without glasses. Yeah, there, okay, good. So do we have any questions? If I can't answer it, my wife will. Orlowski, good to see you. Didn't know you'd be here tonight. We'll talk later. He and I were in school together, college together, so. Yes, ma'am. Define winter. We've been there in that city for 20 years. We have never not had a white Thanksgiving. And the snow is just now completely cleared out of the streets and the yards. So we get 5 months of snow. That's more than 100 days of snowfall every year. So you get used to it. You don't always like it, but you get used to it. It's not a wet, heavy snow like you dread so much around here. Most of it is very light and fluffy, but it still has to be shoveled. And it still is, in spite of all of the beauty, it does come with its inconveniences. And, you know, my thought would be, well, God put it here, he'll remove it when he's ready, but you can't wait 5 months for that. Yes, sir. Do you have an idea on that one? There's so many. We call the quadruplets of I forget the word I use for that. But there's apathy, and they just don't care. And there's ignorance; they have no idea what Christianity is. Conformity. I better go tradition first. We've always done it that way, and so we're going to continue doing that way. And conformity. Everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it. And then, so that gives you the group mentality, where if somebody is thinking of being a believer, they are going to consider, what is my group here going to think? And when I leave that group, will you have a group in place that will welcome me? And, one of them is formidable. So you combine four of them together, and it's just plain simply tough. We got to be in it for the long haul. You notice there's an emphasis on kids, getting kids out. Those that we're familiar with that have become Christians had some sort of contact with Christianity as a kid. And when they become adults, then they see, you know what, there must be something to that Christianity, because what I have now is unsatisfactory. And a few of them will come back. One of the things that's giving us optimism about returning to Japan this time is, you saw the pictures of Joseph, the Canadian English teacher, who's from China, by the way. His parents are from China, so he's kind of a mixed cultural blessing. He brought to the Easter service a lady with a couple kids named, and this hasn't, didn't have time to get in the DVD, named Eddie is her first name, and that's going to be easier for you to remember than her family name, which is Mayanaka. Talking to her, we learned that as a kid, she took a vacation to some resort island, and some group there was showing a movie about the Bible, and she watched it. So she remembers the story of creation. She remembers the story of Noah's flood. So I was able to then, from that, show her from the Japanese language, which they borrowed from China. That written language isn't Japanese, it's Chinese. And that the character for creation, the character for boat, come from Bible stories. There's nothing else that makes any sense. You know, the written character for a boat is eight people in a vessel. And that makes sense only with the teaching of Noah's Ark. So she had that interest. She came for Easter, and my assignment to him before leaving was, please get that lady interested in doing a Bible study with us, because we know from experience she has more hope than the others that we have worked with. So we're putting the emphasis on the kids with the sad realization that we'll probably not see those kids become Christians, but our prayer is that somebody after us will come in contact with those kids and share the gospel with them, and they'll become Christians. Do we like that? Absolutely not. But that's what we have to work with. And we're thrilled to be there. We love living there. We love ministering there. We just wish there was more fruit. And everybody in Japan is having that struggle. The missionaries, the Japanese pastors, nobody's having an easy go of it there. And that's just reality of life there. I probably got onto a rabbit trail for that question, but those would be the main four things that I think would consider the main obstacles. More questions? Yes, ma'am. That is done at the church. There's two benefits to doing that. You don't have to rent some other place, and it gets them in the church building. So that they always associate us with church when they see us elsewhere. And when you're in the church, you should expect them to see church things. The joy time. Now, that was somebody else's idea to get going, a Japanese Christian lady. And so when a Japanese Christian gives you an idea, so far we've run with it if it's all possible. But that's where we've gotten most of our opportunities in the past few years, and that has led to the friends and family time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, where we get about 25, 30 of them together, and there they can get a clear gospel presentation, whereas when you're teaching English with them and stuff, they're coming and going and the kids are restless. That doesn't work out. And then Mrs. Nagase's two granddaughters have come to church because of that. Now, maybe they would have come else for other reasons with just Mrs. Nagase's influence, but that was what first got them, I think, coming to church, wasn't it, for that. So Mrs. Nagase approached us just before coming back here, so it's not in the DVD, with another idea. So this is another reason we're optimistic about going back, and another reason we're not so optimistic about being here, enthusiastic about being here. It's in the DVD? The joy time is? Okay, right. It is in there, isn't it? But no details. So we told her that because it's your idea and it's going to be bilingual, you have to be the main person. You're going to do the teaching of the Japanese. We can handle the English, but you're the one that has to do the teaching of the Japanese. And she's okay with that. It starts two Sundays after we get back. So we have to meet with her and go over the lesson and figure it all out to get it done for the first time, which that will be interesting. But we're anticipating great things from that. So while we're back, between now and what day will that be held? June, the first Sunday in June is when the first one of them is going to be held. So we appreciate your prayers about the joy time. It runs for about a half an hour. She's going to be inviting people, and we're going to hope for and pray for good results. More questions? Yes, ma'am. The government doesn't persecute people. There's freedom of religion. Right. That's not to say that freedom can be removed. It was imposed upon them by the Americans. So it's not something that fits into their mentality and outlook on life. I mean, it can be taken away just as easy as it was imposed upon them. So it's nothing that we take for granted. The family, however, can be free to persecute if they so desire. Oh, you don't want to follow our traditions? Then we don't want anything to do with you. Being put in a mental hospital by your family is a possibility. It happens just because you want to be a Christian. In many ways, it's probably similar to Orthodox Jews and the, the very zealous Catholics in some countries. Now, we're grateful that doesn't happen often, but it is there. It's more likely just gentle persuasion to not become a Christian, and it's just generally frowned upon in society. So again, that's a long answer, but it's not an easy answer to question. Easy, it's not a short answer. There doesn't exist a short answer. More questions? None? Okay. Easter recently passed. Let's see, there's something else I wanted to say. I got it right here. Yep. Okay. Do you want to share with them briefly, Yume and Yui? You can even come up here and do that, Sue. These are two more reasons why we are more optimistic than usual to return. It's just oftentimes with furlough, you get things going, and then you come, you're an American, things kind of die out. This time it's turned around for us where things are maybe looking good when we get back.
You saw the picture of the 12-year-old girl, Yume, in the presentation. We're not sure about her status with her bone cancer. She did have a leg amputation, but I've been able to share with her mom because of this, and just keep praying for Yume and her mom, Eriko, that we would have an inroads there. The other person she mentioned, my husband mentioned.
That's a Japanese mistake, the personal pronouns and the genders, just can't get them straight. Maybe she's turning Japanese.
Was the 26-year-old that came in the fall. She speaks some English. She went to a Christian college here for a year and learned some English there. But by going to the college, I don't think she was able to comprehend a lot of the Bible classes she was taking. It was in Pensacola. And so she learned some Bible principles. She went down there to learn some piano. So she came to our English service, and which is Sunday evenings, and she came for about 6 weeks, and we were really excited because she professed Christianity, and then she stopped coming, and texts and ways to contact her were not panning out, so we couldn't do anything but wait and pray. And then she finally contacted us, said that she works at a preschool, and one of the kids jumped on her and hurt her neck, so she had to have some treatment for that. Again, she kind of didn't come for a while. Then she comes the first Sunday of January, and like nothing happened, and we chatted normally, and then after the other folks left the English service, she comes up to me while my husband is putting some things away and tells me, God told me that he wants me to join this church. I said, okay, as I'm asking my husband to come. And so we talked with her a little bit. We gave her some information about our church and asked her a few general questions. We said, you know, she said she went to a Nazarene church and was taught how to speak in tongues. And she was very confused about a few things. And we asked a few other questions, including, have you been baptized? And she said, yes. And I said, has it been immersion or sprinkling? And she said, sprinkling. And I said, okay, because we're a Baptist church, we do immerse, but let's just have some Bible studies with you, and you can learn about what, you know, the Bible teaches about different things and how our church operates. And she said, okay. And my husband said, why don't you come to our Japanese service? So she did come the following week, and she said afterwards, well, that was different. Well, we don't know why it was different, because it was basically the English service, but in Japanese. We don't run things a whole lot differently, except we all sit down. He sits down when he speaks at the Japanese and the English service. Yeah. And so then, again, no contact until just a couple weeks ago when we'd been in the States, and she messaged me and said she's been really sick. Now, she's a little thing. She's about this wide, and she told me that she lost 10 kilograms, which is 22 pounds, and she was really sick and in the hospital, and she regained it. Okay, the time frame doesn't work out for all that, but whatever, maybe there was a how she wrote it, because she wrote to me in English, so we don't know. But nonetheless, she said, I would like to meet you with you privately when you return. So we're trusting that we'll be able to work with her and see how we can help her, and not only doctrinally, but in other ways as well. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Good, thank you. Easter is past. How many days ago was Easter? One? About a month. So, Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, which we celebrated at Easter time, was still alive, and on this earth, he hadn't ascended yet. That encompassed about 40 days of time. Those 40 days of time impact missions. They impact why you are here. So, we're going to rush things here tonight and look at why those 40 days of time are so important to us. Now, I'm not going to take away from the importance of the resurrection tonight, because that is vitally important. But those 40 days that happened after the resurrection, if those 40 days weren't there and what Christ hadn't done there, the resurrection wouldn't mean very much. And I think I'm going to hope to try and demonstrate that tonight. But what I want you to imagine, and then I'm going to pray, is imagine this. What if Christ returned to heaven immediately after the resurrection? He stepped out of that grave, and bam, he's gone. How would that affect your life if Christ didn't spend those 40 days on this earth? Gracious God, thank you for this time, for the faithfulness of this church. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. Hopefully, God, we've already begun to impact them more for with their walk with you, and through this brief message, get them to love Christ more and love the things that he did and love the fact, most of all, that he died for them and came up out of that grave alive, victor over sin and death and hell. And because of that, we can have a resurrection. And because of that, there were missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen. The purpose of Christ being on the earth for 40 days after the resurrection, to put it in just a few words, was to generate proof of the resurrection. Because that's what he was doing. Different types of resurrection. Jesus Christ taught. He was the perfect teacher. So when he taught people, they said, oh yeah, your teaching is familiar to me. You find that in John, in Luke chapter 24, the Emmaus Road disciples. The teaching was the evidence of who Christ was. The teaching of that man who was unknown to them as he was teaching is what convinced them that that man was Christ. Also in Luke chapter 24, Jesus suddenly and miraculously appeared to people. He had done that before, and as part of his ministry, he had, instead of appearing to them like appearing to the disciples after the resurrection in the upper room, it was when they were persecuting, they suddenly couldn't find him anymore. He disappeared in their midst. But it was the same thing. He's there, he's not, able to become invisible. And that was a validation of who Christ was. And he repeated a couple miracles, things that Christ had done, he did again. He's doing these things to say, look it, here I am, but I not only look like Christ, but I am Christ. And that was important, because after the resurrection, who do we find believing Christ right away? Mary went to the grave. Oh, let's see, I should probably look at that right away. What verses? John, no, it's not John chapter 12. John chapter, oh, I don't have that written down right here. But Christ also appeared to many, Mary and his mother, Mary Magdalene. Christ was doing something very important, generating witnesses. Now tell me, if there's a court case, are witnesses important? I mean, if you don't have witnesses, you really don't have much of a court case, do you? And Christ was making witnesses. And he made a lot of them. I think we'll look at that in a little bit. But the more people who saw the resurrected Christ, the more witnesses Christ left behind. And he left more than 500 witnesses to his resurrection behind. And it couldn't be just a person that looked like Christ. It couldn't be his... not a biological twin. What's that you call somebody that looks like you, but they're not you? Doppelganger, yeah. Because there would be something missing on the doppelganger's body. There wouldn't be the marks of a crucifixion. Now, the Romans did them, Christ and us a favor when they crucified Christ publicly because many people saw him die. People put him in the grave. They had ample evidence of the death. But after the resurrection, you needed ample evidence of a resurrection. And just a plain old body that looked like Christ isn't going to get it. What did Thomas, what did the disciples wanted to see after they saw Christ? Show us the scars. Let us see the holes in your hands. Let us see the holes in your feet. Jesus said to Thomas, hey, look, here's the spear hole. You might be able to find someone that looked like Christ and say, look, he really didn't die, he's still in, and he didn't resurrect, he's always been here, but you're not going to find somebody with the crucifixion scars. Because anybody that like that was, well, decaying. They weren't out live walking around. And of course, the Apostle Thomas is the most famous example of that. But he's one. Now, we blame Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas because why? He doubted before he saw Christ. But none of the other disciples believed in the resurrection until they saw the resurrected Christ with the scar marks. Let's go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 26, 27. Because we get Thomas's exclamations there, I believe. John chapter 20, verse 26 and 27. Then after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. See, here we have Christ appearing. He's doing something that only Christ could do. And 8 days, 8 days from what? 8 days from when the other 10 disciples that were still alive had seen the resurrected Christ and had seen the crucifixion proof. He said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. It was not the empty grave that convinced people a resurrection had occurred. It was the crucified, living, resurrected Christ out walking around giving evidence of who he was. That was so important. And he did that for a period of 40 days. You know, it's interesting. We have four biographies of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. None of his biographers did any sort of a calculation as to how many times Christ had appeared to people, the resurrected Christ had appeared to people. Who was it that gave us an accounting of how many people the resurrected Christ appeared to? Who? The Apostle Paul. But he wasn't the Apostle Paul when he did his research, was he? Who was he? Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor. And we find his conclusion in 1 Corinthians 15, 4 through 6. You know, as persecutor, and he was perfectly situated in life to learn this information. Because what does a persecutor need? Information. Persecuting one person, who else do you know that has this viewpoint? Who else do you know is claiming to be a Christian? Who else do you know that thinks they saw this resurrected Christ? And they keep records of all of that. So Saul, the persecutor, became the Apostle Paul. And years later, he wrote the fifth account of the crucifixion historical document. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Saul the persecutor was being prepared to tell us how important that was, the resurrection appearances, post-resurrection appearances of Christ was. And he said there were 500. Now, it's amazing. Those 500 witnesses, which, that's a pretty good number of witnesses. You know, one person, you can maybe dismiss them as a crackpot. Two people, but you got 500 people. Yeah, we all at the same time saw what was happening. That doesn't happen unless it's for real. It was him who years later said, this was a great help to me. And what else was a great help to Paul? On the road to Damascus, he by special vision saw the resurrected Christ in heaven. Mary Magdalene went to the grave of Jesus. The soldiers were gone. The stone had been rolled away from the grave's entrance. And then there was an unpleasant surprise for Mary. The grave was empty. That wasn't a pleasant surprise. She wasn't rejoicing that there was a resurrection. Ah, What was her conclusion? John chapter 20, verse 16. John chapter 20, verse 16. Her conclusion is written down, but others had the same conclusion. John chapter 20, verse 16. John 20, 16 is not the verse. Yeah, John chapter 20, verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you have borne him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. The empty grave did not convince her that Christ resurrected. In verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. It was the appearance of the resurrected, crucified Christ. I should say the crucified, resurrected Christ that convinced her that Christ was indeed resurrected. But we nowadays like to say, oh yeah, we have the empty grave, but we don't know if that's really where Christ was. It's just a hole in a hillside. Jesus, in those 40 days, was making it easy for people to believe by giving plenty of evidence that there had indeed been a resurrection. Now, we don't live in that 40-day period of time. We have no chance of becoming an apostle. On this earth, we have no chance of seeing the resurrected Christ. But we've got five reliable historical documents, the four Gospels and 1 Corinthians 15, what Paul wrote. What if the resurrected, what if Jesus resurrected and never appeared to anybody? We'd be like Mary, the disciples. There's an empty grave, that's curious, but where's the body? It was the crucified, resurrected, out teaching and meeting people and doing miracles of Christ that convinced people there was a resurrection. What if Jesus resurrected and he appeared to people, but the angel never rolled away the stone? Christ could have done that, but would we have evidence of a resurrection? Now you're some sort of weird charlatan because he's in the grave. You know, it's still sealed. You still got the soldiers there. Christ had to come out of the grave, the stone had to be rolled away, and he had to appear to people to convince them that he was. You know, if Christ had come out without having that stone rolled away, do you suppose that the authorities would be quick to open the grave and prove that he was gone? I don't think so. And likewise, if Christ wasn't out there crucified, resurrected, wandering around, I shouldn't say wandering because that means like he's undirected, out there ministering, they could have simply rolled the stone back in place and said, he's there. And we're going to keep the guard there because, well, we don't want you to see that he's really not there. Those are reasons why Christ didn't go to heaven immediately after the resurrection. Going quick here. But there was one more. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. After convincing more than 500 people that he did indeed get crucified and resurrected by personal appearances, with the miracles, with the teachings, he had one more thing that needed to be accomplished in those 40 days. Acts chapter 1, 8, this is at the ascension of Jesus Christ, day 40. He spoke to his disciples and said, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus' ministry was confined to Palestine. He only had so much time in the form of a man. He could only be in one place at one time, and that was in Palestine. And his ministry was only about 3 years long. And everywhere he went, he had to walk. He wasn't going to get anywhere very fast. An intensive ministry. It was nice that he was in Palestine, but what percentage of the people lived in Palestine? A small percentage. Now, what percentage of people did Christ die for? Let me hear it. All 100%. And no, we're included in that. If Jesus Christ hadn't spent those 40 days proving to his Jewish disciples that I am indeed the resurrected Christ, victor over sin and death and hell, and given them this command, would they have gone anywhere? They would have still had those old Jewish prejudices in their brain. You know, you read the book of Acts until you get to what? Acts chapter 9? They're not going to the Gentiles. It took the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 13, to finally go. The Jews weren't getting it, in spite of all of God's best efforts. during those 40 days after the resurrection is important to us because that is what God needed to convince the Jews and to give them this command to get going. I didn't just die for Jews, but I died for all the people of the world. Imagine for a moment, the resurrected Jesus stepped out of the grave, immediately ascended to heaven without appearing to anybody. The authorities could have put the stone back in front of the grave. Yeah, never happened. He's in there. And the guard is still keeping him there. They could have successfully denied the resurrection because there would not be the crucial evidence. There would not be a crucified, resurrected person looking like Christ out there teaching. The disciples and we would not have received this command to take the gospel everywhere. That means that if you're here tonight and you're not Jew, you probably would have never heard the gospel of Christ. That means that I, who am not a Jew, would have never got this command, would have never been called to Japan. You wouldn't have much impetus with a dead Savior to take the gospel to anybody else. What would you have to proclaim? Yeah, look, our God's dead. Who wants to follow a God like that? There's all kinds of gods like that. You wouldn't have a future to proclaim. You know, only a living God can give spiritual life to somebody. Only a living God can bring the dead back to life for the resurrection. And Christ, with those 40 days of ministering to people after his crucifixion and resurrection, was giving us ample evidence of the resurrection, was giving us ample evidence that everything that was prophesied in the Bible is going to come true, was giving us ample evidence that we could go and take and teach to other people. The resurrection was important, but if there had been just a resurrection and Christ didn't generate any evidence for it, what would we have? Not very much. We'd have an empty hole in a hillside and some wild stories. But Christ, with that 40-day period of time, made my occupation possible and your salvation possible. Thank you.